Hello everybody, it's Sam from Financial Samurai, and in this episode we're going to talk about the ideal financial scenario in retirement. And I think that ideal scenario is to have conservative returns with steady income. So I've been thinking a lot recently about dialing back risk because we've had a great run, and I just didn't feel really good during the early 2018 correction of about 10%. I probably lost several hundred thousand dollars. It was, you know, a little shocking to me, and it really gave me a wake-up call to think, well, maybe my risk tolerance is not really that high. So I feel like, you know, it's been a great run in the S&P 500, various tech stocks that I've been investing in since I'm in San Francisco, and also the San Francisco real estate market. It's been a great run since 2012, and I kind of feel like Anthony Bourdain when he said, I should have died in my 20s, I became successful in my 40s, I became a dad in my 50s, I feel like I've stolen a car, a really nice car, and I keep looking in the rearview mirror for flashing lights, but there has been nothing yet. And I really relate to this because I remember getting into trouble the summer before college. It was pretty bad, and I could have easily given up on my future because I was thinking to myself, what's the point of getting a college degree when I screwed up so badly in my past already? But I graduated, I met my wife, my future wife, in college, and I got a really hard-to-get job for someone with my pedigree. So I felt really lucky. And then 2 months before likely being terminated at my hard-to-get job, as the internet bubble burst in 2000, I was able to find a new job in San Francisco for a raise and a promotion, because they didn't know that I was going to get terminated, but I did. And instead of selling a home close to the bottom of the market in 2012, I tried. I was so blessed to have a lackluster agent who couldn't sell a beverage to a parched traveler in the middle of the Sahara. It was like unbelievable. And instead of flaming out with Financial Samurai and having to go back to work a couple years later, this site has become a viable source of income to support my family here in expensive San Francisco. So with low returns and a stable income, life becomes really, really nice in retirement. All the worry about running out of money or having to go back to work full-time starts to fade away. And that's your biggest fear if you retire. Running out of money and going back to work, because once you've tasted that freedom, you just don't want to go back. So money falls to the background as you strive to live your best life, whatever that may be. So what I'd like everyone to do is to calculate their annual gross income, net income, and absolute savings amount and divide these figures by your current net worth. You now have a good idea of what your minimal annual net worth growth rate is, assuming a 0% investment return. So my percentages are roughly 10%, 7%, and 5% respectively. So in other words, I've got a 30% effective tax rate, I save half of my gross income, about 70% of my net income, and I'm able to grow my net worth by about 5% each year from savings alone. So I could probably increase that rate to 6%, but I'm over 40 now, and I'm really trying to be less frugal and start spending my money on more experiences stuff now that I'm over 40. So for the sake of illustration, if I dump my entire net worth in a 10-year treasury bond yielding 3%, I'm now growing my net worth by 8% each year, right? So 5% plus 3% is 8%. So at an 8% growth rate in 9 years, I will have doubled my net worth, which I'm already happy with. And in 18 years, I'll have tripled my net worth. And in 27 years, I'll have quadrupled my net worth with very little risk or stress. And I think that's a really, really awesome scenario to be in. 8% every year, sign me up. A 5% net worth growth rate, I know, is not that impressive. You know, some of you are probably growing your net worth by 50% or 100% a year. And I'm assuming it's because, you know, your income is high or your net worth is lower. But whatever the case may be, that's great. But don't feel sorry for me. I found a happy place where I'm satisfied with the amount of risk, reward, and effort required to maintain such a growth rate. Now, of course, your income might decline or go away, but hopefully you will have built passive income, because this is something that I've been emphasizing for so long on my site, or you'll receive a pension, or you'll earn Social Security, and your income will be pretty stable. So in my case, I'm earning passive income and online income until Social Security kicks in 30 years from now. So let me provide you some examples of low return, stable income. So number one, a 63-year-old couple who lives in Des Moines, Iowa, with a paid-off house and an annual budget of $30,000. $30,000 with no debt, that's pretty good living in Des Moines, Iowa. Their net worth is $500,000. Their social security income is $18,000, so that's 3.6% of net worth. Their dividend income of their $500,000 is $10,000, so that's 2% of net worth. And their annual net worth growth rate is $20,000 a year, or 4% capital appreciation. So this couple has a total available gross income and capital appreciation of $48,000 a year. So that's a 9.6% annual growth rate. And these figures are really pretty basic, but real and good enough for them. So example number two, a 45-year-old couple who lives in San Francisco with a paid-off house and an annual budget of $240,000 or $20,000 a month. So let's say their net worth, excluding their primary residence, is $5 million bucks. Passive income, $140,000, which is 2.8% of net worth, quite reasonable. Since they're 45, they do some part-time consulting here and there, so $60,000, that's 1.2% of net worth. And then their annual net worth growth is $250,000 based on a 5% capital appreciation, which is quite conservative. So their total available gross income slash capital is $450,000, or 9% annual growth. And again, they're only living off $240,000. A final example is a 67-year-old couple who lives in Manhattan with a paid-off condominium and an annual budget of $350,000. So let's say their net worth excluding primary residence is $10 million. All right, they're obviously rich, but they don't even hit the estate death tax limit for one person. Their passive income is $250,000, or 2.5% of net worth, consisting mainly of dividends. Their pension income is $120,000 because this guy was an executive. Annual net worth growth, $400,000 because that's based on 4% capital appreciation. So their total available gross income slash capital is $770,000. So that's a 7.7% annual growth rate, which sounds pretty good to me, especially since they're only living off $350,000 a year. So hopefully from these three examples, you can see that, hey, you don't really need to earn a high investment return and a very high income to lead a pretty good life. So long as your expenses are covered, you're pretty good to go. So if you click over to the post, you'll see two charts. One chart highlights the suggested stock and bond allocation by retirement status. So if you're truly satisfied with your finances, you have no desire or ability to work part-time, you have no side business, you might have a pension, and you're older than 70, you know what? A stock allocation of between 10% to 30% and a bond allocation between 70% to 90% is probably good enough. Historically, since 1930, that kind of ratio would yield about a 6 to 6.5% return. And remember, we're not looking for, in these examples, the limit was 4% capital appreciation. And then, you know, let's say your traditional retirement age of 55 to 70, only a few alternative income streams, you want to live a life of leisure, you're willing to take slightly more risk to build a larger financial buffer, and you're adaptable. Okay, maybe a stock allocation of 30% to 50% and a bond allocation of 50% to 70%. Your goal in retirement is really to not lose principal, not worry about money, and enjoy life to the max. And really, the more risk you take, the more stress you will feel, and that is really counterproductive while you're in retirement. And another chart I created in the post is the recommended net worth growth rates by age. So if you're 18 to 30, we're talking 50 to 100% plus annual growth rates. You've got nothing to lose. You know, your net worth is growing by leaps and bounds, and you should be saving aggressively. Your target net worth based on annual expenses, I'm thinking, should be around 5x. That's your target. So in your 30s, 31 to 40, annual growth rate of about 25 to 50%. You know, your risk rating is high. You still don't have that much to lose, but you might be, you know, starting a family or getting married, and you want to buy a house. And, you know, it's something where you got to be a little bit more conservative. So your target net worth based on annual expenses should be around 10x. And then in your 40s, I'm talking, let's say, a 10 to 25% annual growth rate. Your risk rating is moderate. You're probably burning out a little bit and you're wondering, when is the finish line? Maybe you're experiencing a midlife crisis. Who knows? But you could be taking care of kids and you could be taking care of your aging parents. And your net worth target based on annual expenses should be around 20x. And then in your 50s and beyond, moderate conservative risk rating, 5% to 10% annual growth rates, it's probably good enough. And then by the time you're like your 60s or 70s, I think you've got to be spending down your money or just earn the risk-free rate of return. That's good enough. You know, you have lived a great life. You want to leave a legacy. You want to leave capital to the people that you care about and the organizations that you care about. What's the point of trying to really hit it out of the ballpark then? I'll conclude by sharing with you my favorite Chinese proverb. It's, if the direction is correct, sooner or later you will get there. So in Chinese, it's 方向对，早晚会到达. So you're welcome to take more risk to expedite reaching financial freedom. In fact, I encourage you to take all the risk in the world in your 20s or before you have a family, because you have the time to make up for those losses and those mistakes. But once you start hitting your 40s, I'm telling you folks, unless you're really, really rich, you're going to want to dial down risk, because you will lack the same amount of zeal and energy that you had in your 20s and 30s to go for it. It's just the way it is. You know, we just become more comfortable, we know what we want, and we just have more focus and different priorities other than just money, 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 money. I've always had a minimum net worth growth target of 10%. I think that's something that everybody should shoot for at the minimum as well. Thanks to a strong recovery and this site, my net worth growth has been higher since I left full-time work in 2012. But I attribute that a lot to luck, because look, this recovery has been incredible, especially in certain parts of the country and certain sectors, right? The tech sector is ridiculous. But after not seeing any lights flashing in my rearview mirror for so long, I'd like to keep it that way by dialing down risk. So I'd love to hear from all of you on what you think is the appropriate risk that you should take in retirement or when you're approaching retirement. And I'm really trying to understand, what is the point of trying to make so much more money when you're already happy or have enough? Thanks so much.